The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome on all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on The Ocho. It is Tuesday, March 31st, 2020, the last day of March. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy, practicing social distancing, washing your hands, trying to get through these days, and trying to do so with some friends, some guests. We've done our best to get as many guests as we can here on this show for you. We have a great one in store for you today. Before we get there, a little bit of, you know, a little bit of catching up, a little bit of housekeeping kind of with regards to the Cowboys. Not a whole lot of news early on this week. I did not mention on Monday's episode that Jimmy Johnson responded to a Twitter user and noted that Troy Aikman is going to present him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that is going to be awesome. I think when every Cowboys fan saw that, it just made sense. Obviously, Aikman, if you know the story, you know that Jimmy Johnson tried to recruit Troy Aikman several times out of college, and then obviously, you know, drafted him number one overall in 1989. It is fitting that the leader of the triplets would sort of bring in their head coach and put them all in there together once and for all. And so very, very, very cool. Also, before we get to our guest, on the subject of podcasts, our guest is a fabulous podcast host, but a different podcast, America the Podcast. Marty Smith of ESPN does a great job covering, you know, really all sports. Marty does. Had Gerald McCoy on his podcast. And Gerald McCoy, obviously, he did the little video with the mothership and tweeted out that he was excited to be a Cowboy, you know, said we them boys and everything. But Gerald McCoy had some interesting things to say on Marty Smith's podcast. And the first I thought, and for what it's worth, I wrote about this. If you want to go check it out, you can at bloggingtheboys.com. But many people have been discussing whether Gerald McCoy practices a vegan diet. You know, there are people that believe in that. There are people that have thoughts on it. And so Gerald McCoy had been on record about adopting a more vegan type diet. And he told Marty Smith, though, that, you know, he's kind of changed. And I thought his answer was interesting. So here's Gerald McCoy on Marty Smith's podcast talking about his vegan lifestyle.
How does quarantine impact a vegan diet?
Oh, well, for me, I kind of do a little both now, because last year in training camp, so what I want to do is test the vegan out, and I loved it. But what I came to realize is, with a guy my size, it wasn't sustainable to be fully vegan. So I kind of been going in and out of it, you know, with my diet. Because when I started realizing, like, I still was explosive and I had everything I needed, but it wasn't sustainable. So I had to get some other protein back in my diet.
Why wasn't it sustainable? You couldn't keep the weight on you needed?
Nah, when I say sustainable, I mean my explosion. Like, so my legs, my muscles would start kind of shaking a little bit because they didn't have the energy they needed. And I wasn't able, like, I didn't realize this. Like, in practice, I was fine. But once I got in my first couple preseason games, I realized, like, when I have to push off and drive and then take off, turn and take off running, it just, I felt like I couldn't run like I wanted to. And I realized that it was my diet. So
interesting stuff from Joe McCoy, how he's kind of blending a vegan and non-vegan diet together. I'm not a nutritionist, and so I can't speak to that. I eat meat, and I love meat, and I eat red meat, and I eat chicken, and I eat seafood and everything. And I'm not a world-class athlete. So I thought that was really fascinating to hear just kind of how Joe McCoy realized that. And it makes you wonder, you know, what his season would have looked like last year in Carolina if he had been practicing what he's currently practicing. But something else Joe McCoy had to say. Well, you know, he's going to be asked this question a million times, but of course, Marty Smith asked him why he chose the Dallas Cowboys.
You leave us here in Charlotte and you're headed to Big D, the Dallas Cowboys. Why was that the right fit for you?
Oh, well, it was a number of different reasons, man. One is the star, you know, it's the number one highest grossing team in, you know, in the world. So that's one thing. I grew up in Oklahoma, which is like 2.5 hours from there. So I grew up starting out as a Cowboys fan, eventually becoming a Bucks fan. But if you didn't know somebody or yourself at some point wasn't a Cowboys fan and you from Oklahoma, there was something wrong with you. Like, just being honest. You know, and then, I mean, watching them, being in the NFL, you see them dang there every week. So, I mean, it's just overall, it's the Cowboys. And then secondly, you know, you look at the I was a big fan of Coach McCarthy when he was at Green Bay, and I had a chance to play for him at the Pro Bowl and get to know him just a little bit. And I always was a fan. My dad was always a fan. So I looked at it as an opportunity. This would be exciting to play for him. And then you know, I can be close to my family. My best friend lives there. My wife's sister lives there. My sister lives there. So it's nothing but, you know, opportunity, honestly. And then, honestly, I truly believe this team has an opportunity to win, man. They're in win now mode. You know, I believe Dak is coming off his best season. You know, Zeke has been consistent. They got a solid O-line, always have. You know, it sucks to lose Travis Frederick, but, you know, they have the rest of the guys in place. They can keep the momentum and keep things going. And I just felt like myself and a couple other pieces were missing on defense to really help this team turn the corner. And I was excited about the opportunity.
Very cool to hear Gerald McCoy talk about Dak, talk about Zeke, talk about why he chose the team. I mean, the local thing makes sense. And again, Oklahoma, very, very close. I mean, the Lincoln Riley stuff, you remember very well. The final clip I want to play from that, you know, Gerald McCoy mentioned Mike McCarthy, but he spoke a little bit later about Mike McCarthy. And he spoke specifically about the impact that he believes Mike McCarthy is going to have on the new Cowboys team. Here's Gerald McCoy on Marty Smith's America, the podcast.
You noted your respect for Mike McCarthy. How do you expect he might impact the Cowboys culture?
Well, he's had, you know, a history of winning. You know, obviously, I can say this. He said it, you know, you get spoiled with having a player like Aaron Rodgers, you know, one of the, in my opinion, top five quarterbacks in history. And he's my favorite player, so I'm always going to be a little biased towards Aaron Rodgers. But you know, he's had that, but he's also had great teams that he's put together with great leadership. You know, if you look at that Super Bowl team he had, you know, Charles Woodson was one of the main leaders. And then you just put playmakers around him, but it was a lot of great leadership, man. And that's what I believe that this team was missing. And I believe he's going to put us in a great position to win. It's just going to be up to us, the leaders on the team, to make it go.
Now, this is just me connecting dots, me, my own opinion. Nobody's told me this or anything. It makes sense based on the answer that Gerald McCoy gave to me that Mike McCarthy kind of sold him like, dude, you can be the Charles Woodson to these Cowboys. What Charles Woodson was to the 2010 Green Bay Packers that won the Super Bowl in this stadium, you can be that. You can be that leader. And I think that, I mean, you know, Gerald McCoy, he says, if you want to hear it again, rewind, he says us leaders. I mean, he talks about and he puts himself in that position. Obviously, he's a tenured player and a veteran and certainly a leader on any team that he plays for. But that's I imagine that makes sense that Mike McCarthy would have sold things that way. So interesting stuff. Again, Marty Smith's America, the podcast, the whole thing very much worth a listen. Gerald McCoy also talks about the influence that Kobe Bryant had on his life. And so very, 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 very good interview. Certainly encourage you to listen to it. And speaking of interviews, it is now time for ours. Now, this is a little bit different. You got to trust me. You know, I'm a big fan of golf. Everybody that listens to this knows that, knows me. And the number one golf podcast in the world, No Laying Up. The guys at NLU, they do it great. And they're so awesome. And Chris Solomon, a.k.a. Solly, was nice enough to take some time to talk about content with me, to kind of talk about the times we're living in. Obviously, the NFL season hasn't been suspended or anything, but you know, people are worried that it could get to that point. And the PGA Tour was suspended. The Players, if you're not a golf fan, the Players Tournament, Players Championship, is one of the biggest golf tournaments of the year, and it was literally suspended and canceled in the middle of the entire. You know, everybody kind of remembers that week and that weekend. You know, that stemmed from the NBA being suspended, and then every league that followed, and the travel ban that was put in place for the United States. And so I thought it was a really interesting conversation. And if you haven't checked out No Laying Up, even if you're not a golf fan, you know, they have so many great things that they put together, great pieces of content. They're just fun guys to watch and enjoy. So go check them out. But yeah, let's go ahead and let's get to it. Here he is, the one and only Solly from No Laying Up, joining us next right here on The Ocho. Pleased to be joined now by a very special guest, very special friend, head of No Laying Up, host of No Laying Up, really lives at the center of No Laying Up, the one and only Chris Solomon. Solly, how goes it?
Well, I got to refute that. There's no head. We are a very, you know, the power structure here is all shared very evenly. There is no head, but I don't know exactly why I'm coming on a football podcast. I can talk some golf. I know that, but I think all rules kind of get thrown out the window with whatever it is that's going on in the world currently.
Sure. Well, you know, I calculate head by handicap. And so generally, that's kind of how things roll for you guys. But yeah, you mentioned
that I can boast on that.
Yeah. So you guys do such a great job. You're most people, or should be most people's go-to source for all things golf. And I definitely want to touch on that a lot. But you mentioned it. How many football podcasts have you done in your day?
This would be my first. There was a time in my life where I was equal football, basketball, golf, baseball fan. I mean, just kind of sports in general. Mm-hmm. This job, my current job covering golf, has made me kind of have to trim a lot of other things out of my life. And it was funny. I was like one of the biggest sports fans you could imagine before I moved. I moved to Europe and lived there for about 3 years. And I was actually stunned at how fast all that stuff fell off. I mean, when all the events happened at night, I'm not kidding you. I came back and I could probably like read off to you the top 15 draft picks of, you know, the last 10 drafts or something like that. I came back and I didn't know who Carson Wentz was. It's amazing how fast like the knowledge falls off when you don't have SportsCenter on in the background and all that stuff. So there was a time in my life when I would have been a decent football guest on the show, but those times are long gone.
Well, you're doing a great job of playing to the audience, not knowing who Carson Wentz is, considering Dallas Cowboys fans.
That was intentional.
Well done either way. So, you know, again, this is a little bit unique, but I was watching I was watching the Island season over the weekend. And actually, because I think there are some strangers to know Laying Up, can you explain what Tourist Sauce is for the listener?
Yeah, gosh, there's always like a 2 minute explanation and a 20 minute explanation. But basically, it is our take on the golf travel series, which we kind of felt like before we started doing it was very lacking. It's just presented. It's on YouTube. It's nothing too fancy, but it felt like something the Golf Channel should be doing. We came up with this thing several years ago that we call Tour Sauce, that basically kind of mimics and makes fun of all the little mannerisms that PGA Tour players do at tournaments, that if you did it with your buddies, not inside the ropes, it would just look ridiculous. Like if you had a wayward drive in a PGA Tour event, you point your club so the marshal can know where to look. We would do this on the course and just kind of, it just became this big running joke called Tour Sauce. I mean, when we went to make the travel series, we just like made a play on that and called it tourist sauce, and has to do with tourism and traveling and stuff like that. So that was kind of the name behind it. We couldn't come up with a great name. I'm not in love with the name of it, but it is our travel series where we go and do weird things. And each one's kind of structured a little bit differently. We just try to keep it fresh and try to keep it not too formulaic. But yeah, we've done five. We're wrapping up our fifth season of it Tuesday afternoon, evening. I'm not sure when this will go to air, but this will be season five is in the Carolinas right now. And our finale episode is at Tobacco Road. It's got a dramatic conclusion, if you will.
Right on. I am very much looking forward to it. Former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Bryce Butler is a fan of the Carolinas and all the great golf that's over there. I was watching the Ireland season. The Duke episode is fantastic. Even, you know, this time later. But anyway, so you guys do such
I got a great I got a Bryce Butler story for you if you're looking for one.
Of course, I do. Yeah.
We met him at the Callaway Epic Flash launch event last year. He's a huge, huge golf fan. Got a great swing. He's got a lot of speed, a lot of potential. But, you know, we're kind of just picking his brain. We're on this bus kind of going between events, and we're picking his brain on some things. And, gosh, he's just telling this great story. He's a great storyteller. I think it's Patrick Peterson. For all intents and purposes, let's keep it at Patrick Peterson. But he's like, you know, all these pro bowlers and everything, like they get all the calls and all this. And for somebody like me, I got no chance. So I go up against Patrick Peterson. I go to run my route. And like, I just, you know, whatever. We have contact and I break off, get open and make the catch. But I get called for offensive pass interference. And if he's not a pro bowler, like would he get that call? And we kind of like, yeah, but like, hey, like, did you push him? He's like, yeah. I mean, yeah, I pushed him. I mean, yeah, I deserved it. Everybody just busted out. He told the story so well. He's like, I mean, yeah, I pushed him, but come on. He's not supposed to get that call.
Well, that I think I'm not certain, obviously, because I wasn't there. But Bryce Butler, one of his greatest games came against Patrick Peterson's Cardinals on Monday Night Football now 3 years ago. So I would venture to guess that you're pretty right on with remembering that it's Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
So Patrick also a pretty good golfer. But you guys are so good at creating content. And I think this is an appropriate conversation to have this week. The latest episode of No Laying Up, you guys explore what ifs. In the world of golf. And I think a lot of football fans, because football fans are sort of the only ones who haven't had their sport supremely compromised by the coronavirus and everything going on in the world. But people are starting to kind of forecast and sort of extrapolate and say, well, you know, if X, Y, and Z, it looks like at the very least football is going to get delayed. And you guys have done a great job at handling, obviously, the PGA Tour being suspended. What's gone into that thought for you? I mean, this is so unprecedented. You guys have always found a unique way to approach creating content. How have you figured out how to do it now and maybe are still figuring it out?
Well, one of the things we have working for us is just the structure of us as a company, just for people that don't know. It's five of us. We work out of a house in Neptune Beach in just outside Jacksonville. And
the house is called the Kill House.
Yeah, there's a story behind. I don't know how long you want me to go here. The story: Tiger Woods used to train in what he called a kill house, and so when we got a house that we worked in, we called it the Kill House, and that's what it is. So we can flex. So we work kind of, you know, in a small environment. It's not a huge crazy office. There's five of us. You know, we can still socially distance ourselves within the house. And our lives aren't extremely affected. In fact, it kind of brings us all together for a longer period of time because this time of the year really kicks off our travel schedule. This is supposed to be major championship season starting up. You know, we go out to several PGA Tour events. You know, we were supposed to host 11 different events around the country this year. It was going to be a crazy, crazy year, but all that getting canceled really just brought us together and said, hey, we got a lot of other video stuff we should be editing. We have a podcast studio here. Let's every idea we've thought we've had and just haven't had the time for, let's go start tackling that right now. I think, you know, the way a lot of, let's just compare to the Golf Channel, the way that their operation works is so much different. I mean, they have so much overhead with all the equipment and just the way that media buying works for commercials and all that. It's not easy for the, turning around an aircraft carrier. It's not right. Easy to just snap your fingers and do something different. So we're kind of decently well positioned to do something like that. Flip a switch and just say, hey, let's do this. And our rule is like, we'll try anything. I mean, this whole thing, I don't even know how it happened, how it got to be a full-time job that wasn't originally part of the plan, but it definitely started with saying like, hey, let's try it. I mean, like at least let's try it. And so that's just kind of what our what our method to our madness is currently, and we're definitely gonna run our video content dry at some point. There's a mountain of stuff to edit still, and that's what the most time consuming thing we do. But I have a feeling we're gonna be kind of like this for longer than people realize that we are. Mm-hmm. So at some point we're gonna run out of it and gonna need to get creative. I don't know if that means doing a golf episode inside the house or what it's gonna look like. But at some point we're gonna run dry. We're not quite there yet.
So I think an interesting question then is, I mean, you guys are golf fans at the heart of it all. That's what makes No Laying Up. What has it been like? Because football fans haven't reached that point yet to have it just taken away, I guess, to sort of brace football fans if that does ultimately come to pass. I mean, you know, I know you, to this point, at least, you're not missing any majors yet. But obviously, you know, three of them have been postponed at this time. I guess four, technically, depends how you want to look at that. But what is, I mean, I imagine that's sad. I mean, at the very least.
Yes and no. For football fans, it's different. I would imagine the majority of your listeners are not rabid flag football players, or, you know, you can't experience football the same way you can golf. I love golf. I love playing golf. Pro golf is a part of my job. It doesn't run my job. So in that regard, it kind of gives us some, you know, golf course. Some golf courses are closing, and of course, it makes us a lot harder for us to travel and actually do content at golf courses and stuff. But pro golf only makes up a certain, I guess it structures our life a lot. I mean, you got to talk on Sunday nights about the events that just happened, and you got to plan out your major watching schedule, and you have to convince, you know, significant others that watching golf is actually a job, which, you know, sometimes can be very challenging. So have that freed up is not the worst thing in the world. Now, potentially running out of content ideas is a fear, and we're gonna get to that. And but we've long always said we need a break from pro golf every now and then. Pro golf goes 47 weeks a year. I mean, there is almost no off season. So actually having a bit of a weird break isn't the end of the world. Now ask me in 3 weeks and I'll be like, please bring back golf. We need something to watch. But I think golf, you know, fans are a little bit better positioned than maybe football fans are. I'm not, you know, people that dedicate their lives to football and are huge football fans. I have nothing to go off of other than brace yourself. Cause I don't know when we're coming out of this thing. I know it's going to take a lot. It's a huge hurdle to clear for events, for sports to come back. I think all eyes are turning towards the NBA and kind of waiting on the NBA to decide when they think it will be possible to start practicing again. That's the thing. It's not a quick snap of the fingers to say, hey, all right, now next week, let's start playing. It's what's that lead up time going to be like? You know, this is unprecedented, and it's hard to get too upset about anything sports related when, you know, the whole world is in this global crisis. But at the same time, it's kind of our job to talk about sports, and people want to get away from all hearing about all that news and whatnot. So we're trying to strike that balance, striking the right tone of understanding the real concerns here, and also understanding people are kind of fed up and want their sports to come back.
Hey guys, going to get back to Solly in just a minute, but before we do, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
All right, back from the break. Let's get to it. Here he is, Solly from No Laying Up on The Ocho. No, absolutely. And I saw you pull the brakes there. You can curse. It's cool. No worries. But I think that that's well said. And you're right. I mean, obviously, the situation that the world is in is much more serious than missing, you know, I live in San Antonio, you know, missing the Valero or whatever. But something that I've been thinking about as of late with everything just kind of getting postponed and everything, I'm certain I believe you're getting married in October. Is that right? I think that's what you said.
That is the plan. Yes, I am set to get married this October down here in Vidra.
Well, so congratulations, first of all. But I imagine all of these events getting kicked out into the fall has you maybe a little bit nervous. But I was wondering more from a coverage angle, which I know you guys love. I don't know how this would work if everything does, you know, if we're being hypothetical and you know, the Masters is in October. And I know you're a huge fan of CBS and everything. Like, what does Jim Nance do? You know what I mean? Like, does Jim Nance go cover, you know, Sunday at the Masters? Does CBS pull him from after they just paid Tony Romo from their that Sunday's Chiefs, you know, Patriots game? Like, I mean, what would it? I mean, I think you guys are the perfect people to ask. What would the Masters be without Jim Nance on Sunday?
Well, you know, you ask a good question and a question that I think it might be pointed more towards what do the networks want to do? You know,
right.
How, if you're CBS, how do you decide between Saturday afternoon college football in the South and the Masters? I don't know. I honestly don't know what that looks like. I don't know if, you know, ESPN, you know, usually has shown the Masters for Thursday and Friday. Does that mean that they also cover it on Saturday and it switches to CBS on Sunday? I don't know. You know, I'm guessing Jim Nance is going to be on the call for the Masters no matter what happens. I think that's probably his prize jewel. And you can have other people call NFL games.
Right.
Jim Nance doesn't need to be, you know, the guy on a weekend football game, I would imagine. That's something I hadn't thought of, but I think there's going to be so much fallout that people haven't even thought of yet, in that football, no matter what happens in football, it's not going to be unscathed. Whether or not they start week one on time, there are effects that, you know, I'm honestly pulling these strings on a daily basis of like, oh gosh, I didn't think about the fact that the people that put on golf tournaments are agencies, and agencies rely on these events happening and they make money off of these events happening. So the events not happening means an agency could potentially go under in some way, or, you know, not be able to pay its employees, have to lay off a bunch of people. Then when golf tournaments start back up, are those agencies underfunded and can they, you know, get things together in that period of time? So there's so much money in football that, and everyone being affected by this financially in some way, I can't speak specifically to what those effects are going to be, but I promise it won't be zero. Again, I don't know if that means TV coverage or, you know, whoever sponsors the stadium or the big, whoever is, you know, renting out the big hospitality booths in the stadiums and the suites and everything. I don't know what the effect is going to be, but there is going to be effect, and probably at levels that people haven't begun to think about.
No, I totally agree. It's every day, to your point, I think there's no place to start. And it feels like every time you try to start somewhere, you blink and you're 10 miles behind where you thought you were starting. And it just becomes this never ending sort of thing. From a legacy perspective, because you guys did kind of explore what ifs, and 50 years from now, God willing, you know, everyone's looking back on whatever this golf season and sports season ended up being, and just kind of looking at the season as being a little bit different. But I was curious for your take on, let's just say, pick one, say Ricky breaks through this year and wins a major. Is there some sort of in future revisionist history? Well, yeah, but, you know, if that's, he got the first one in a weird season. You know what I mean? Like, cause I feel like that damage is out there lurking too. You know what I mean? Like I thought about it first, if the Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA title, if the NBA comes back and Giannis never won another one, people would say, yeah, well, the one title he got was because it was kind of a weird season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'd have to ask somebody that follows the NBA closer than I do, but the lockout season in the NBA, the title the Spurs won, do people discount that in any way?
The people in my town don't.
Yeah. I would be surprised if that really affected golf that greatly, because each week is almost a championship in some kind. You know, it's not a season-long build-up towards, you know, an NBA championship. So I'd be surprised, you know, if it's somebody I don't like. I'm prepared to use that as an argument. Of course, I'm preparing for all scenarios, and, you know, I'm sure there'll be some fun that comes with that, kind of more on the joking side. But I mean, when these guys tee it up, if it's a 72 hole event, you know, at Augusta National, it might be in the fall, might be different, but I don't think there's any asterisk on that. Now, if there's an NFL season that goes six games and, you know, got canceled and they picked up in the playoffs and somebody won the Super Bowl and a team that started 0-2 that was really good didn't make it in the playoffs. Yeah, I think that has a very serious asterisk. I don't foresee that happening in golf. Now, the FedEx Cup is the season-long, you know, points race on the PGA Tour that nobody really actually cares about. That could have a huge asterisk on it, but again, nobody's really arguing about that.
It'll be interesting for you, Solly, on Masters Sunday morning when Jordan is tied for the lead and like there's an article floating around like, does this really mean anything if Jordan wins the Masters today? Jordan Spieth, big Cowboys fan, by the way. So, you know.
Well, I hadn't thought of this. What is that? If it's in October, is that after the current, like, does the PGA Tour let the season keep going? Do the FedEx Cup points count? I hadn't even thought of that. That's what I'm saying. Every day you start to think of something new of like, whoa, how is that going to play out? I don't know if that starts a new season or what's going to happen. It's going to be wild.
Speaking selfishly, my family and I don't know if I should say were or are planning on going to the Ryder Cup this summer. And so I'm very excited. If you had to sacrifice something, I mean, if it became impossible to fit everything in, I mean, what's your priority list? You know, like what would you in the least terrible situation sacrifice?
I mean, the FedEx Cup playoffs, I think, are truly just a big payout for PGA Tour players that holds, in my opinion, no real prestige or honor. And as a fan, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to sacrifice that. That'd be the first thing. The first major I'd be willing to sacrifice would be the PGA Championship, probably. It's got the best feel, but it just carries the least prestige. Next up, as painful as it is to say, would be the Open Championship, just because I foresee that being a bigger challenge to get scheduled this year, just with it being international. Most players kind of coming, not necessarily most players coming from the U.S., but I can picture, you know, the three majors that are supposed to happen in the U.S., I can picture that happening. Now, based on rumors I've heard, I don't think the Open Championship is likely to be rescheduled this year. I think it's more likely to be canceled. So then there's that. The U.S. Open would be the second to last thing I would want to give up. I think it was going to be a great U.S. Open year. And then the Masters is the crux. It's no matter what happens, if we can get that in this year, I think it will be one of the most dramatic and most amazing tournaments. If that's like the only one they play, like I'm making up the scenario in my head, but if you know, total doomsday situation, find a way to have the Masters. And then it'd be so cool to look at that, see that golf course in the fall and see how that plays out. And it would get us just fired up for the next major season.
Totally agreed. You know, I like thinking about the Masters. I was just like, again, one of those, like you think of new things, like what happens to the Masters lottery? You know what I mean? Like, do you get to go? Well, I mean, yeah. You know, like what happens to next year's lottery? I don't know. I've only been once and see, like nobody has ever understood this, but I was there in 2018 and last year when I was telling everybody, I was like, you know, I wouldn't want to be there this year. Like I'm almost grateful that Patrick Reed won it the year I was there, because I feel like I didn't miss something incredible. Does that make sense? Like, you know, because when you're there, you miss a lot of things in the moment. If that, I mean, I'm sure that makes sense to you.
Yeah, if you go to a Ryder Cup, you are going to 100% miss out on some things that happen. You are going to be a part of the environment, you know, to cheer, to, you know, be part of the noise. But if you want to see every golf shot, you better sit at home. I've been to Ryder Cups. I was there in France, and I hate to say this, but I had to sit in like a hospitality tent for most of it so I could watch and hear the audio, because I need to keep track of everything that's going on. And
right. It
is such luck whether you pick the right match. And we've kind of made our bones on being on social media and kind of live commenting on things. And I've hit the jackpot. I mean, I was there at Hazeltine. I followed Reed and Rory around in that singles match and I hit the right match. But gosh, I remember thinking like, whoa, I'm glad I was at that match. Otherwise, I don't know. It would have been the worst FOMO ever if I was out following, you know, Ryan Moore's match or something like that and end up missing that one. So it is a weird event in that it's great to attend, but at the same time, if you care very, very greatly about the outcome, you might be better off watching on TV. They do a great job of having like, you know, jumbotrons and stuff showing other parts of the action, but they shut those off as groups are coming through and stuff like that. So I definitely would advise people today, if you have a chance to go to a Ryder Cup, it can make golf seem way, way more fun than it actually is. And it is very, very different than any other professional golf event.
Hey guys, we'll be back to Solly in just a moment, but before we are, going to take a very quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Let's finish strong. Solly from No Laying Up back here on the Ocho. Sure, totally agreed. Last thing I wanted to touch on with you, Solly, is a lot of Cowboys fans suffer from this sort of like guilt-driven revisionist history with Tony Romo. People that didn't really appreciate him while he was the team's quarterback now sort of elevate him so they feel better about it all. And so everything Romo touches is gold to them. And I mean, Tony Romo's outstanding and certainly awesome on CBS. But I remember when he first joined the booth, there were people saying, oh, well, he could call the Masters. I mean, he's a big golf fan. He could call the Masters. Just, you know, he's played basketball before. He could call the Final Four with Jim Nantz and everything. How has Tony Romo's sort of trickling into the golf world more after his football life been received by golf purists? Because I bet that there's a sector of it that are kind of like, I'm really not here for this. I'm more about the authentic sort of thing.
Good, very good question. Complicated answer. For me personally, I don't think Nick Faldo is a very good announcer, color commentator. I think it's a very hard job. Would I be fine experimenting with somebody like Romo in that position? Absolutely. Absolutely. Great to try it. If it doesn't work, I think it'd be pretty obvious. The golf fans are fickle, and there's a strong portion of them that will never let an NFL quarterback into the booth that has no experience playing on it. For some reason, that's very, very valued, having the tour and the major championship experience in the booth. I don't get any of that from Nick Faldo when I hear him in the booth. So what's the point of having that? You know, if he got subbed in, you know what Romo does to Jim Nantz? And it might just be football versus golf instead. But, man, he gives Nantz energy. Nantz seems like a different guy when he's next to Romo. And I'm on record saying Romo's the only announcer in sports that actually matters, because I will watch the NFL, but I tune in to CBS to watch, because Romo always, he does such a great job of giving the viewer at home something to look out for. And he keeps your eyes on the TV by saying, you know, in those last 2 minute drills, you know, when there's an audible call, he's like, you know, he just sets the scene right there. It's a run play. And if he audibles, it's going to be a pass, blah, blah, blah. They're looking at this safety right here. Watch this right here. And I'm just locked in as a viewer. And somebody that brings that kind of attitude that is willing to change, you know, not impersonate an announcer. I feel like every announcer ends up sounding the same and just kind of wanting to be like the guy previous. He is the one guy that shook it up. And if he did that to golf, it could only mean good things. You know, he doesn't have, of course, that championship experience in it, but he's played in PGA Tour events and he has basically one good round to date. I know he's had several opportunities, but the fact that he's able to shoot a 70 in a PGA Tour event and kind of threaten make the cut, that's a big deal. Like not your average scratch golfer can roll off the street and do that. And I know he's had some less than favorable rounds, and some people are overly critical of the, you know, the events that will give a spot to somebody like Romo. But that's the way those events, those spots work. They're unrestricted. They are designed by the tournament. You know, they're there for the tournament to do whatever they want to build interest in their event. So using it on a guy like Romo, that's not going to hold up play. He clearly can play, and it will bring attention to the event. Go right ahead. That's what the spots are designed for. So in that regard, I like to follow when Romo's in an event. I like when he's about to tee up in one. And it's something I will check in on, and that's exactly how it works. So I would welcome Romo into golf with open arms just because, one, at bare minimum, he would be a refreshing change of pace.
Are you aware that once upon a time in his football career, he was accused of playing too much golf? Do you know this?
I don't think I do know this.
Yeah, I don't want to say early on, but it was early on in his starting seasons. I mean, his first full season as the starter, they went 13-3 and they lost to the Giants in their first playoff game. And so that was kind of the beginning of his sort of choker label. And there were two things that people would really grip onto back then. It's like 06, 07 again. He would wear his cap backwards, which people did not like. I mean, it sort of was this like.
So disrespectful. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And then he would, you know, play golf in the off season. And at the time, he wasn't trying to qualify for the U.S. Open or anything, but he would still, you know, he talked about it, and he would be playing golf. And then he started to suffer back injuries a lot. And so people, you know, like Twitter doctors all of a sudden were like, it's because he's playing too much golf. But yeah, so people thought he was irresponsible and not focused on the team because he wanted to play golf a lot.
Dude, I don't know how you football guys do it with the takes. Like the takes in that world, I get really frustrated just in golf, and it is 1/100th of what goes on in a football fan's mind. I really don't know how you guys do it.
Well, I guess we should end on a take. Assuming we get some sort of normalcy with golf when it returns, give us a take, just a prediction, a solid prediction for something that happens on the PGA Tour, however this season shakes out.
Ooh, it's not, honestly, like the more time goes by, the more I'm thinking that, I don't even want to say it, but I won't be surprised if there's no more sports this year.
You went deep take. Wow.
Yeah. I'm not saying I definitely don't know anything that, you know, other people don't. I'm not saying that that's rooted in something. I just think that the way this news cycle has worked and how everything is exponentially getting worse and we're not going to have a vaccine for at least 12 more months, I just can't picture things getting opened back up. I can see a scenario in which things don't get opened back up because I don't know who's going to want to be that first organization to do it.
Sure.
I can't imagine just gathering a huge group of people if we don't have a vaccine. I think it can give the virus second and third life to it. And that is my unexpert, you know, opinion on it. But I think there is a possibility that that might be the case.
I think
that's not found in anything, but that's a take. How about that?
Sure. I think, and again, the priority of the world is safety and health and social distancing. But from a sports angle, if we could just go from, you know, March 2020 to March 2021, because there is all this question of like, well, how's this all going to work? That would almost be like the cleanest way to do it, if that makes sense. You know, you just wipe, you know, 12 months of the year or 12 months of life from sports existence. And you just kind of, you know, you pick up, you pick back up at the players on Saturday. You know what I mean? And, you know, you just kind of go from there. I know that I'll be watching Toro Sauce. We're going to drop this on Tuesday. So watch the finale and people can go back and rewatch the old seasons. I was watching the Ireland season. Give us something you're watching on Netflix. Something everyone's staying home because everyone's smart practicing social distancing. What can we watch per Solly's recommendation?
We knocked out Tiger King in like 24 hours. I'm sure that is not, you know, that is the easiest recommendation. I was trying to convince the other guys, like, yeah, I'm kind of out on this. I'm like, guys, watch it. It's incredible. It really is. If you haven't seen it, stop wasting your time. Go watch. I mean, yeah, you are just delaying the inevitable. You have to watch it. It's that good.
Solly from No Laying Up, get the podcast. We need more podcasts, more editing, more YouTube videos, more everything. You guys do a great job. I think you're bringing the game to a different audience, which is kind of the whole point of this. So well done, and appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thanks, RJ.
Huge thanks to Solly from No Laying Up for taking the time to join us. I thought that was a fascinating conversation. And again, it's worth kind of looking at, you know, what other sports leagues and people that cover sports are dealing with. These are obviously troubling times. And, you know, as we both mentioned, you know, sports are nowhere near the top 5,000 priorities in life right now. But, you know, there are people who have questions, and so I really appreciate Solly allowing us to pick his brain. And again, if you haven't, make sure to go check out No Laying Up. Tourist Sauce, this episode is dropping on Tuesday, so the season 5 finale. It is so awesome. If you're a golf fan, you'll love it. If you're not, I promise you'll love it just as much. That about does it for Tuesday's episode of The Ocho. Tomorrow, Wednesday, we have another very special guest, Coach Jason McIndoe, who is the tight ends, Cowboys, backs coach at Oklahoma State University. Is joining us. Going to talk some Blake Jarwin. Coach McIndoe coached up Blake in Stillwater, and so going to pick his brain, kind of hear what a cowboy back is and how Blake kind of works and what he thinks about Blake's sort of projection as a starting tight end for the Dallas Cowboys. So going to be exciting and really, really looking forward to it. So, hey, you do me a favor. You have the absolute best Tuesday of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you manana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.